is the Necro Macho Entertainment Podcast. Oh yeah. Welcome all you hive scummers who think they can rise to the top of the spire.
So, welcome to the 12th episode of the Necro Macho Entertainment Podcast. As always, I am Roy.
And I'm Richard.
All right, and today we have for you, we're going to talk about the Ash Waste weather system and how it affects our games and what we like to do about it, adjust a little bit. And then we're going to talk about inspiration from other systems in your Necromunda game or your Necromunda's modeling in general.
Yeah.
So, Richard, what you been doing?
So, recently, I've just been doing a lot of painting commissions, painting a lot of Blood Bowl characters. So got done with the Goblin team. Also painted up some Grots. Got to paint some Rats. Painted a couple Refs. Also going to be painting Nordic team. A couple Dwarves. These like old like pig things with these barrels on them. So and I think that's kind of what's on my table next. And then next few days I'm going to be tackling your stuff, getting some Goliaths painted. So we're actually going to get paint on them boys. So,
yay. You will most likely have my Goliath gang painted. Well, that'll be my third painted gang because originally I had my original Enforcers from like in 2003 when I played them.
Way back
and
when.
And then last week I finally finished painting my freaking Eshers.
Hey.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Why, thank you. They're not as, they came out different, a lot darker than what I wanted. But that is fine. Like, they're really dirty, and I'm completely fine with that.
Okay. Yeah.
They don't take too many showers in the underhive, unless it's the acid rain.
So, as you're with your Eshers, you have more models, right, that you want to add on at some point?
Oh, yeah. I painted 11 of them, and then I have, I think, 12 more to paint.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not doing it right now.
You got a whole other gang. Okay.
Yeah, basically a whole other gang to paint.
Sheesh.
Yeah. Once again, how I originally envisioned them to how they came out is different, but that is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You know, last episode I talked about how I used that yellow paint on their background for their nameplates. Mm-hmm. I was going to keep that nice and clean. Well, I said, screw that, and I made it dirty.
Okay.
But it still stands out because that yellow.
It'll still pop out. Okay.
So it still pops out, and it's fine. Okay, good. It looks good because I just dry brushed white over their names, so their names stand out.
Good idea.
It's hard to miss them.
Yeah.
Let's see. Besides that, a spiker for my Delac. The Forge One model is cool and all.
Okay.
But it's Christmas time. I ain't got money for that.
Okay.
So I still have a Blackstone Fortress Servants of the Abyss box that I need to put together. And then that thing is just all the extra bad guys for the game. And it comes with a witch.
Okay.
The guy floating up in the air with the chains holding him down to the ground.
Yeah. A little disturbing of model. Kind of reminds me of the Warcry team, the Unmade, as far as like the body horror, like amputated peoples.
Yeah, he's not amputated, though, but the Unmade, that's a pretty cool kit for Necromunda.
Yeah.
No, the model, it comes with like a guy like with his fingers to the head, like he's going to force blast you, another guy with his arm out, like, come at me, bro, or something.
Okay. Nice.
So it comes with both of those pieces. Comes because you can make two different models.
Oh, of the same body, yeah.
With the same body. And so I just cut the come at me, bro arm off and stuck with the other one.
Yeah.
And so now he's there floating, about to throw a psychic fireball at you. I don't know, something.
Okay.
Looking pretty cool. I still need to do some work on it to put some hoses into his brain from piles of stuff.
Yeah.
Of Kim's. They've been pumping in some gas. They've been pumping into them.
Okay.
What else have I been doing?
Yeah. Once you get done with that, you'll have to post on the Instagram.
Well, there's a lot of stuff I'm supposed to be posting on the Instagram, and I don't because I need to take better pictures. So I'm like, every time I take a picture, I'm like, this picture sucks. I had to delete it. I need Richard to take a picture of this. I primed all my tiles for
the Ash Waste campaign. Okay.
So I got my airbrush because there's foam and, you know, spray paint. Aerosol eats the foam. So I'm out there using an airbrush to prime the foam. My airbrush gets clogged. I'm like, oh, screw it. I'm pretty much done with that. So yeah. Then I bust out the spray paint can, the aerosol can. I'm spray painting around it. And there's one part that was unprimed from the airbrush. Mm. But I'm like, I'll still hit it. The paint will get on it. And if it takes it down a little bit. It's no big deal because I still got to cover it up.
Yeah.
And so I hit it. And I look at it. And I'm like, wait a minute, it didn't dissolve. Why didn't this dissolve? And so there's another piece of foam I had out, that just a piece of foam from where I cut the stuff off.
Yeah.
And I hit it and it didn't dissolve. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Son of a bitch.
So, yeah.
Spent all this time spray paint. Working with an airbrush.
Yeah, it's supposed to dissolve foam.
Yeah.
Well, insulation expanding foam, it doesn't. So I'm like, I was like, this would have saved me so much time if I'd have known that. So everybody out there, if you're using expanding foam, spray paint will not eat it. And you can just prime right over
yeah.
it. And don't got to worry about getting your brush out.
Oh, man. That's rough. But hey, I mean, you learned. So next time when you go do this, you can just apply it.
And now everybody else knows.
Exactly. Yeah. So
yeah, that's what I've been up to.
Okay. Nice, nice.
No Necromunda games, unfortunately.
You also, I ended up giving you some models. A Ridge Hauler, Rock Grinder, and Ridge Runner.
Ridge Runner.
Yeah.
Yep. And a Aberrant.
Yeah, the Aberrant, which you did strip completely?
Yes, I stripped it completely. Used the LA's, totally awesome.
Nice.
Real quick, easy. So now I can put together my Genius of Cool Gang.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be cool. I'm excited to see that.
I have these gangs. I probably will never use this Genius of Cool Gang. I just want to build something.
Sure. Yeah. I hear you. Well, I mean, it's just, you look at like every like cost of shame. Like it's just all the different projects of like, oh, I aspire to do this. I aspire to do that. It's like right now I'm like 50-50 on whether or not I want to do Bretonian Army when Old War comes out. Because the guy up at our shop, what he did when he like got into the hobby and like was like, he's got, I want to say like 14,000 worth of points using, what was it? Six Ed was the last time that they had a book. He's got about that many points of Bretonians. And he did all of them as like a monocolor, like one army. And they look great. Like it looks fantastic on the board. But I see like all these like photos of like old like white dwarves and the books of all these different like knight households with all the different heraldry, and it just looks like a great painting challenge.
Oh yeah, it's just a whole riot of color on the board.
Yeah, and it's just you'll have like the knight, and then you might have like a squire or somebody that are like of the same colors, but those are the only two guys on the board that have the same colors. And it's just like, oh man. This looks fun just to paint, let alone play. So,
yeah, because you're not painting an army, you're just painting individuals. Then, so you can pick up a guy and paint him however you want it, and then move on to the next guy and paint that guy however you want it. You know, it's not, you know, you're not doing the repetitive. Oh, I need to get this
exactly
these 30 guys green.
Yep,
and then I need to dry brush. Yeah,
yeah. It's not like when I painted my 83 sword masters in a week. Like it's not the same guy. Literally just rinse and repeat. So
it's not boring.
It's not boring. Yes. So, but it will be more time consuming because of that. So
it will be, but you'll have more fun doing it because,
yeah,
you know, you can get a guy done and come back later. You can find a new paint. Like, I want to try this color out.
Yeah, exactly. Bam. Yeah.
Paint that guy up. You may not particularly like that color, but like, hey, now I know I don't. That one guy's done. I'll still use him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's actually, I didn't think about that as far as allowing you to experiment with different colors and tones, ten tone shades and whatnot. So, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll take a break and we'll come back talking about the Ash Waste Weather Systems.
This is Necro Macho down at your local family-friendly Frank's Fun Frags, where they've got weapons for the whole family. Need that shiny heavy bolter? Oh yeah! Are looking to get close and personal with some good old brass knuckles? Come on down, yeah, and tell Frank Necromacho sent you and save some creds,
Okay, and we're back. Talk about the weather outside the hive. The treacherous ash waste winds and sands, shifting dunes, sand traps.
All the different things that can go wrong. Outside the hive,
rolling ash, yeah, like the Ash Waste Nomads.
Yeah,
don't want to run into them.
Oh yeah, I mean, especially with them having a storm caller that can literally like change the visibility in the match.
Yeah, that can screw you over 100%. Yes. So yeah. Other people have said it. If you are running a campaign or playing in a campaign and you're just rolling up the random weather every time, you're going to have scenarios where it just doesn't match up and will make a very poor game for you and your opponent.
Yeah, it could definitely favor one side over the other or just screw both gangs completely.
I mean, screwing both gangs is fine sometimes, and as long as the game's still fun, but it can screw you where it's just not fun at all.
Yes, yeah. And that's where it's you got to balance the playability versus the narrative in that sense. Because it's just like, if it's a slog for both you and I and nobody's having any enjoyment out of it, it's like, can we just like re-rack and just do something, like do another re-roll on the weather system? Because at times it can be literally oppressive playing against.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you roll your season up and your near, deep, and wild waste up, mm-hmm. you can usually tell if it's going to be a poor game or not. If you're, like, Richard has been playing his Ogryns, if I would have been playing, my Eshers,
yeah.
and it's, if you're less than toughness 4, you take wounds, well, he can just stand there and just last me out. It's going to suck.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got the wounds. I got the toughness. Bring it on.
So, if you're an arbitrator, it may be who of you to go through all the results and maybe apply them already instead of letting your players roll up randomly mm-hmm. to go ahead and say, hey, this is the scenario you're going to play, or these are the options of scenarios. You know, y'all can choose or do random, mm-hmm. random roll, but I already have the ash waste effects on there, so they don't have to roll. So it makes it more enjoyable and less random for each player in your campaign. So everybody's not even necessarily playing the same mission, but playing with the same restrictions.
Yeah. 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 The idea is you're in a certain region, all the gangs are in that region. So it makes sense that everybody is being applied. Maybe like some things might change from game to game, depending, but for the most part, everybody's kind of experiencing the same weather. So unless you're 10, 15, 20 miles away, you could have something totally different. So,
yeah. So like the near waste, deep waste, and wild waste, the most forgiving, if you're doing random, is obviously the near waste.
Mm-hmm.
Cause on, if you roll a 12, you're kind of screwed because everything is dangerous terrain. Yeah. So that's going to kind of suck, especially if you're rolling up where your visibility is like 12 inches.
Oh, God.
You kind of have to move.
Yeah.
Your gang's going to die. So, I mean, it could be a good game and funny seeing how fast your people
get knocked out.
Kick the bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just so everybody knows, you can find all the rules for this on page 198 to 197 of the new rulebook. The one thing I didn't realize until Roy mentioned it was when you play roads, you typically have to have a road if you're doing like a pickup game or something like that, but you have to have a road going from one end to the other, and that road actually is 6 to 8 inches wide. So that was a bit surprising. I didn't realize it was that big of a road, because I was thinking like just a single lane road.
Yeah, a little strip.
Yeah, but now it's there's quite a bit of square feet that you can play on for your gang.
Yeah, so they want the roads to be where you could stick 2 bridge runners side by side and still be on the road.
Yeah, yeah. And the nice thing, at least with the roads, is that the roads are not affected by the battlefield conditions. So it's not dangerous or difficult terrain. So that's nice. That consideration was put in. So if you it'll bring the fight to the road, and that could be good or bad depending on your game. So
yeah, they between the original Ash Waste book and the new rule book, they changed it up for your battlefield size, because originally wanted to play you on a 4x6.
Yeah, they shrunk it down a bit.
Yeah, to 4x4 now. I guess they wanted you to be on the road,
mm-hmm.
Long ways fighting each other, but that would just be, even still doing that, everybody on a vehicle, and that would take a couple turns to actually do anything.
Yeah.
Actually, more than a couple turns. That'd be, four, maybe four turns.
Before you're actually, and also depending on visibility.
Yeah.
It can really dictate how the game plays. Like, I'm thinking for, like, my squats. They've got 4-inch move. That sucks. So, having them, if we're going, like, long ways on a 6x4, there's no way. Like, I have to give them, like, a Ridge Hauler or a Goliath truck or something like that to even, like, ferry them in to the fight. So, especially if there's like a 12-inch visibility. I will say one of the things that the battlefield conditions, the regions that we haven't had actually yet. We haven't actually rolled on this before. That just sounds ridiculous and actually does sound fun. Is under the deep ways. There's the burning waste, which the battlefield is covered in flammable chems. So when a model fires a weapon, you roll a d6, and on a 6, the model becomes subject to the blaze condition. So your gun can ignite the fumes that cover the battlefield.
Yeah, that would be a good game to play because, I mean,
you weigh that
shooty armies.
Yeah.
I'm like, my heavy bolter has you in my sights, but do I really want to kill my champ with a heavy bolter?
Yeah, and God forbid that person standing on like a building or something, because if they get caught on fire, there's a possibility they might just run off and fall.
High possibility.
Yeah.
But that's always hilarious.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
That's why you need to give your guys all the extra cool equipment, like the... Not the grapple launcher, help me out here. The grab shoot.
The grab shoots when they fall. Yeah. So they don't take fall damage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cool system. I really like the gambit of how, like, what is covered here, because it can lead to really, really great narrative games. Some of them can just be literally oppressive, because there was one game that you and I did when we were going through learning the Ash Waste rules, and we had everything was difficult and dangerous terrain, and you had to move or else you would take damage. And it was, I think we had a visibility of like, I want to say 12 inches.
It was like 12 or 18.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. So, and it was just, okay, I'm playing my Ogryns. They've got grenades at best, and them throwing grenades are not the most reliable. So for me, it was rough. I think you were playing your Eschers against that. Eschers or Goliaths?
Maybe.
One of the two. So,
I don't know.
Either way, you had pretty decent shooting, and yeah, I think it was 18 inches because you were able to just pop shots at them as they were slowly like ambling forward. And it's just like, in a campaign, I think after I saw the results of that and after I lost like two of my Ogryn, I probably would have just bottled out. Like, it's not worth me to get my vehicle messed up. It's not worth it from my other Ogryn to get taken out of action, potentially have to go see a Ripper Doc or anything like that.
Yeah, you just wasted, 30 minutes of your life.
Yeah.
Playing that game.
Yeah, that's rough. So I think your idea of, hey, you're an arbitrator, instead of rolling randomly, selecting, being selective. And, I mean, I wouldn't say that you always need to have it be cater one way or the other as far as, like, shooty or melee, because the last thing you want is just, okay, the Ogryns and the Corpse Grinder Colts are just destroying everybody because it's 3-inch visibility. So everybody has to fight hand to hand. Well, Ogryns and Corpse Grinders gonna do pretty good. So
yeah, don't favor one style of gang over the other. Mm-hmm. Another thing is when you're rolling randomly, it's 2d6. Your more than likely going to get a 7.
Yeah.
So all these cool effects, you don't always get the cool effects. Like Sea of Glass, like you got to roll 12. So you're probably never going to play that thing, that effect. So, you know, hey, we're just going to pick Sea of Glass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's cool. Let's try that one out. And also for the Arbitrator, you can use these battlefield effects to help forge your narrative of your campaign. You know, maybe the storm's rolling in, and so you get progressively worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
You know, visibility.
Yeah.
Or maybe not even that. Or maybe they're going deeper into the waste and the terrain's getting more difficult.
More cragged and, yeah, rocky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got to go find, like, they know that there's this, a down ship, or they know there's this hall of Archaeotech at this one spot, but it's the terrain super dangerous. There's lots of beast layers around it or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to.
Oh, that'd be so much fun.
The terrain is easy to forge your narrative,
mm-hmm,
with these rules.
Yeah. There's a lot here that you can dig into. Yeah. Like I would say that probably the worst one to get is in the changing seasons. There's a perpetual dark, and that's where you get the 3-inch visibility. And it's just, if you're on like a monster hunt and it's like way deep in the waste, and it's just like this, the inky darkness that they say descends upon the battlefield as the sky presses low. I think that would be fun, spooky, if you're doing a monster hunt thing of like these gangs that are both like vying for who can claim the most trophies in the match. So you're not only going against monsters, but you're also going against the other gangers, and you're trying to sabotage them from getting the kill or getting the trophy or being able to claim the head of the whatever beast that they're trying to take down. So you can make a like whole process of like, okay, somebody has to like carve off the head and like carry off the head, and kind of like pull elements from like other video games like Monster Hunter, where you're like running away with the head, you're running away with a trophy.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Gotta bring the head back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So just to recap, cover, pick me preferably. I'm going to pick, you know, what my players, I'm going to pick their mission. I'm going to pick what the season is and what part of the Ash Waste it is, just to give everybody a better playing experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I may not use it to forge my narrative. Maybe I'm just saying, hey, we're just taking roads, you know, if we're just playing the regular Ash Waste campaign.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
If we're playing, you know, some Dominion style campaign in the Ash Waste, well, I'll use these to, hey, you want this cool, like,
settlement or something,
you know, yeah, this cool territory that gives us whatever, this big boost.
Yeah.
It's, you know, in a dangerous spot, you got to fight for it, you know, using, it's going to suck,
yeah,
to fight for that, but the benefits
outweigh the cost of acquiring it.
Yeah,
depending, I mean, it might not work out for you depending on how many people you might end up losing along the way.
Well, that's life in the Ash Waste.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to be smart, or you got to be strong.
Yeah.
And if you're fighting over there, you got to be strong, because you're not too smart.
What's the thing where it's, if you ain't smart, you got to be tough?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Same thing.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Strong, tough, yeah. You're either going to sit in office or work out in the field somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it for that, and we'll be back after a short little break with some inspiration from other systems.
A gang will ask a lot of their truck. Can it tow this, haul that, get all the way over the top of that hill? Ain't it always nice to know the answer will be, hell yes. This is the groundbreaking Ridge Hauler truck. With 35,000 pounds of towing and front-mounted grenade launcher with the seating capacity of 8 gunners. No matter what the Ash Waste throws at you, you'll be ready. Backed by our 2-year, 10,000 mile powertrain warranty.
This is Axel Jones here. See, everybody, see? I told everyone that the UHFC was going to come about. I'm right, and everything that I say on this show. My enemies always cut me down, dragging my name through the sump with other broadcasts, lawsuits, and even attempt on my life. But I was right this time. I'm always right. Just go back and listen to the broadcast. It's on there because I have the documents. I'm not sitting here just rambling and bumbling my way through this broadcast. No siree. Not this guy. This is the Emperor's truth right here. We need to get back to this broadcast out to everyone. Share with your gangers and family. We need to have this go viral. Get this broadcast out and spread the gospel I've been preaching. Now that evil, satanic, monster, necro macho is bringing back the brutalism of bombastic hype music to our sweet, innocent ears. How could he? One word. Capitalism. He's just doing this to make creds on the royalties of the hype music and the death of gangers dying, all so he gets paid out the ass for the use of this hype music. We need to fight this tyranny, and an effective way to fight this invasive threat is to go to my web store and purchase some of our fine products, such as the AJs, a new product in our shop that are copper line bracelets that help ward off radiation and help blood circulation. I wear one every day. And if you're looking to bulk up, be sure to pick up some of our patented sump croc bone broth. Axel out!
The views, rantings, and conspiracy theories expressed by Axel Jones do not reflect Necromacho, Necromacho Entertainment, or any of its subsidiaries.
All right, we're back to talk about drawing inspiration from other systems, gaming systems. This is what we're really talking about here. Now, GW has drawn inspiration from
so many different things.
Yeah, so many different things. You can't throw a rock in a without hitting something that GW is taking inspiration from.
Yeah.
All right. The major thing, one of the easiest things that you can draw inspiration from is GW. Because GW has other systems, and some people don't know about it, but GW has role-playing games.
Yep.
Okay. They've come out with multiple ones over the years. The longest running one they had was Dark Heresy. They came out in 2008, and they have like 16 books. They may have more than that, 16 different rule books for running an RPG. And they have one in there. It's called Creatures Anathema, and it has, obviously what it says, it has creatures in it. So you can pull some of those for your game if you want some big baddie to fight.
Yeah.
Which is funny, in this book, it talks about the planet Fear and the Fear Cats, which that's your set.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Fear Cats in this book, they have a little, you know, of course, what the Fear Cat looks like, a little illustration. It basically looks like a tiger with different stripes and smoke coming out of his eyes. It is kind of psychic, which they didn't pull into Necromunda. The cat doesn't like psychers, like the psychic's mind like irritates it, and so they'll attack psychers first. They didn't put that rules into Necromunda.
Oh, but okay.
I can understand that, because that's just, you can have rules and then you can have too many rules to have to remember for everything, you know. If this is D&D meets 40k, not straight up D&D.
okay.
You can't have a ton of rules for everybody. It'll get pretty old
and it would just get real fast loaded and just. Yeah.
So Fear is a death world. So they talk about death worlds in here. They have a couple different death worlds. So that's another thing you can do with your campaign if you're an arbitrator.
Mm-hmm.
There are over 32,000 hive worlds in the Imperium. Jeez. Yeah, that's from a third edition. I forget which third edition book that is. But yeah, 32,000. So they're not all on a desolate wasteland. Some of them are Arctic. Some of them are in the jungle, you know, so you can have your games set, you know, you want to do a jungle hive world, feel free, you know, there's room for that in 40K, and there's also a precedent for that. So you can, you know, you can do whatever you want. It's your game,
yeah.
But You know, it doesn't have to be set on Necromunda. You can set on any world, whatever you want to help facilitate your idea.
Yeah, to facilitate your story that you're trying to deliver.
If you want to, you know, you can even play a Necromunda role-playing game, because in the Dark Heresy, there's you roll up your characters, and one of them is a Underhive Ganger. You can
roll up. There you go.
And you can you can play Necromunda D&D if you want to, using Dark Heresy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at like D&D, and like people have grafted on so many different other systems. Like, I've heard of people playing Pokemon in D&D, or using the D&D rules for it to role play Pokemon, or like Marvel Avengers type stuff in D&D. So, yeah, you can graft onto whatever system, get whatever play style. Whatever you're trying to get across to your players and your community. One of the things that, now that we're going into the Ash Waste, that I've used in the past as like models to play with is whenever there's like a monster in the waste, I always like to pop out these like old Dreadmaw models that I have. So these old Forge World Dreadmaws. And these models I'm pulling from Warhammer Fantasy. So the whole thing is you can pull stats from, because like I've got the Monstrous Arcanum book. So pulling stats from that, they have like strength 5, toughness 5, 5 wounds. And then working with an arbitrator, it's like, okay, I want to have like a pit of these. And it's like you just have multiple of these things spawning. And it can just be a whole mess. But feel free to go back and look at like other books, even like a D&D monster book.
Well, not even have to be the D&D monster, but just the D&D monsters. So I was going through our local gaming store, and I was looking for those wings. I was looking for those angel wings.
Yeah.
And I found that model. I showed you. It's a flail snail.
And I'm like,
that would be a great Underhive monster. I'm going to buy this and bring in the campaign somewhere in the Underhive. Yeah. Because a snail, and it had tentacles that were flails. I'm like, we can work with that.
So, yeah, for me, it's, I grew up playing D&D with my family. And that was about it as far as, like, tabletop games. And so for me, the only, like, other experience outside of, like, GW games is playing Nemesis. So essentially just aliens in space, or aliens on the tabletop with Sigourney Weaver and whatnot. So the thing I like about that game that I think would actually work really well in Necromunda is you're fighting, and again, I like monsters just kind of like causing chaos in a match, but you could do something with your arbitrator, like, okay, you make like noise rolls, and if you end up spawning a monster, you can have a little bag full of little chips, and whatever you pull out of the bag is what pops out at you and tries to eat your face. So it could be a Ripperjack, could be a Melisaur, could be a Dreadmaw, you don't know.
Yeah, that's always fun. I've thought about, I think it was the Guild Wars 4 Radio that talked about in the latest episodes how, for one of the campaigns, one of the guys is doing is for, they're looting a ship, and to figure out what they get, they reach into a bag and pull out a chip, and it tells you what the loot is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because when you know, on a D66 table, you're obviously going to roll, you know, in the 30s or 40s the most.
Yeah.
And so that way, it really makes it fair. You know, you really don't know what you're going to get.
Sure.
You know, you can get, you know, I can get a las gun, or I can get a void grenade.
Only a void grenade. Okay.
Yeah. So you can draw inspiration, like we said, so you can get your monsters you have to fight. You can get the world you have to fight on. You can get the models. Another thing, another game, which I would never think to draw inspiration from, which Richard's been playing some of late, is Magic the Gathering.
Yes. Yeah.
So, Yeah, Richard's been playing a bit of that.
A little bit, yeah.
Maybe that's why we haven't been playing Necromunda, Richard.
Well, I'm always up for a game of Necromunda. You just got to let me know when to bring my stuff.
I can't let you know the day of when you're already hitting.
Yeah, up there. Exactly. Like once I leave my house, I've left my house. And
yeah. So back in October, I think I may have put this on my reel on Instagram, but I know I sent it to Richard, a modeler who goes by the name of Chet Halas. I know I'm pronouncing that wrong, and I'm sorry. They made some Kroot. This person is all about the Kroot.
Oh my gosh, yes.
They made the
amazing kibashes.
The Night Stalker, some black magic cards, and the card, like this predatory Night Stalker, when you look at it, it looks like a Kroot on a mount. Like, it looks like a Kroot. And so the guy made that.
Mm-hmm.
And he made like four or five of them.
Yeah.
And they all, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Made 6 of them.
Yeah.
From 6 different magic cards. And they line up with the magic cards. They look like the magic cards, but they're Kroot. And it looks good. I'm like, that's pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Take an idea from a magic card.
And threw in some GW bits and made it work, and it just looks fantastic. That was pretty amazing to see. I hadn't seen anybody done that before. I hadn't seen anybody do that before, and that really was nice to see. So,
yeah. This person also does a Sprut. So Sprut is sprue.
Yeah.
Kroot.
Yeah.
Like, they take the sprue and cut it up and make Kroot models. And you're like, okay, that sounds wonky. Like, so the models he makes of those, they look good. They look like 1980s pixel, super pixelated characters.
Oh, okay, okay. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but they look good. Like, the last post they had with all of them was like 500 points of Sprut.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and then my favorite Sprut model they did, it's called Creation of Sprut, and it's Michelangelo's where God and Adam are touching the fingers.
Yeah. Yeah.
God's laying down.
Yeah.
Well, it's a Kroot laying down on a cloud, and it's just a big pile of sprue coming to touch his finger. I'm like, I love it. It's awesome.
That's so dumb. I love it.
See, they drew inspiration from Michelangelo's work.
It's great. Yeah.
You get inspiration everywhere.
Yeah. For me, one of the things that I play a decent amount of video games from time to time, mainly like, so I got really into Cyberpunk when it came out, loved it. And now that the expansion has come out this year, I started to play that. Well, I'm much more involved in Necromunda and the hobby than I am with video games. So when I'm sitting down playing some Cyberpunk, the thing I'm running into right now is every time I sit down to play, I'm looking at like the environments, the paint, the weathering for all the vehicles and the buildings and whatnot. And it's like, man, that would look good in Necromunda. How can I replicate that? And I'm playing this game, I'm only thinking about Necromunda. And once I start thinking about Necromunda, I think about my backlog. And once I start thinking about my backlog, it's like, man, that guilt trip just gets me into, oh, I don't need to be playing video games right now. I need to go and start painting. So get off your lazy butt and go paint. It's like, oh, okay. Turn this off and let's go paint.
Okay. I'm going to get back to the GW products now. They're role-playing games.
Yeah.
So they have 4 different role-playing games. They've come out with 4 of the 41st millennium. They have Black Crusade, Dark Heresy, Rogue Trader, and Wrath and Glory. All right. In Rogue Trader, there's also a bestiary they have.
Mm.
And guess what's in there? The Razor Wings.
Okay.
You know, that we have those. You get some of those. If you want to use, like, the Blackstone Fortress, they have the Yurgul models. The little
Yurgul.
Yeah, they look like skinless. They look like really buff guys with long arms and like little vampire-y 3-eyed heads.
Oh, Like the Vampire Court stuff that they have for fantasy?
Yeah, they kind of look like that.
Okay.
They're only 40K.
Gotcha.
So they have a Chimera, not a Chimerix in here.
Mm-hmm.
So close. So they have four different role-playing systems to choose from. And I misspoke earlier. The Dark Heresy has a first and second edition. In between both of them, they have over 50 books.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So there's a lot of books to go
through. How many books? Sheesh.
Yeah. I can't remember which one's so Dark Heresy, I think they came out with another system. I haven't checked up in a while.
Oh, that preceded the Horus Heresy?
No, I'm saying like they have Black Crusade, Rogue Trader, Wrath and Glory. I think they came out with another system as well.
I mean, role playing game. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, they have like stuff like the Cursed City, as well.
Oh,
I know it's not exactly RPG. I mean, it is, but it isn't. Like, it's not like a D&D type game.
Yeah, no, like this, like Blackstone Fortress. Yeah. So I love Blackstone Fortress. I love it. Have all the models for it. I have not played all the way through because that's a lot of games. The mechanics are really good, but we've talked about that before, I believe. Yeah, it's not really role play at all. Let's see. Yeah, Dark Heresy, Rogue Trader, Death Watch, another GW book or books that you can use from way back in the day from Rogue Trader.
Mm-hmm.
You can use the Rogue Trader book, which you can get a hardback version from
the eBays,
the Warhammer World.
Oh, okay.
No, Warhammer World. They sell them there.
Cool.
Yeah. But the Realms of Chaos books and Slave to Darkness and Lost in the Dam, they have a buttload of charts in there. So if you're playing some chaos stuff, you can roll up some charts, some crazy names, demons, weapons. You can roll up.
Oh, okay. Like, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's a D666 chart in there. Mm-hmm. You know, they got all kinds of crazy stuff. That's another good one just for inspiration. It's an official GW publication.
Yeah.
You have to tweak some of that from some of the craziness, unless you like the craziness of that era.
Sure.
Things were a little different back then. Now I think I'm done, Richard.
Okay. Fantastic.
Okay. And that's it for today's show. Hope you enjoyed our little talk we had. Once again, you can reach us or reach me at Necromacho Entertainment on Instagram, or you can reach Richard at
Less Gray Minis.
All right. You can always reach us via Instagram by messaging us, or you can email us at necromachoentertainment@gmail.com.
Yep.
Please give us a like or a review. We always like that. We love hearing from y'all. If you want to chit chat,
yeah,
talk about some hobby stuff, feel free to shoot us a message. You have some paint questions for Richard? Pick his brain.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no problem spreading any recipes that anybody is looking for. If you're looking for new products, I can definitely point you in a direction. So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. And, well, you'll hear from us next time.
You've been listening to the Necro Macho Entertainment Podcast. Ooh, yeah. Where the high scum rise through the top.